Welcome to the TTRPG 2024 marketing webinar. I've already given you a rundown. We're looking at the industry as a whole and what we can do about it to capitalize on the good, defend against the bad. To start things off, let me introduce myself and why I'm here. I'm Zach Applewhite. I'm a professional marketer. I've in the corporate sector. I specialize as a search engine optimization specialist. But as a side project, I've been doing a lot of TTRPG micro Kickstarters with Applewhite Games, launching into now. We've raised over $10,000 from 1,000 backers through the micro Kickstarters, and then pivoted into my wife's literary career, where we've raised a $6,000 Kickstarter from 200 backers. I've also managed to gain followings on social media, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all that. The reason I'm here today is because most of the TTRPG creator community does not have the business background that I do, and I do feel very blessed to have the mindset, the experience, and the knowledge that I do. This is my opportunity to kind of help those that don't have everything that I'm working with, give them some more tools, because I am tired of seeing awesome projects not do awesome. So that's what I'm here to help with, is specifically the marketing of helping you understand what's happening, react to it as best as you can, and continue to make your side hustle as far as you want to go, create the projects that you want to create, and so on. And that's why we're here today. Moving on. All right. Today's outline. I'm going to spend a little time on news and insights, which is mostly social media based and AI. Then we're going to talk about market trends. That's the bulk of what we're going into in this webinar. We're talking a lot about individual sectors and how consumers have been reacting at this time versus in the past. All right. Then we're going to talk about content and branding. It's a 101. It's going to be quick. And then we're going to go into the live Q&A portion, where I hope to add the most value today. All right. Let's start with news and insights. Big year for social media. All right. I'm going to have a couple graphs for you in just a second. Decline of Twitter. If you haven't been sipping the tea on Twitter, it's a absolute storm. And it's really easy to think that, oh, but consumers won't actually leave. No, their monthly active users is down by 17.8% reported as of October. All right. Musk is making things worse. Now, what alternatives exist to Twitter? Don't seem to be doing very well. Blue Sky and Threads are like shot up, and some people seem to be using it, but it remains to be seen whether or not Twitter is going to be an opportunity for social media going forward in the future. TikTok is still around, still going steady. It didn't get banned. All right. It's opened and expanded a number of features. I've been able to find good success there. It's still pushing videos, especially when you first launch them. And there's a lot of features in there that might be worth looking into for you. Facebook launched Threads, but like I said, they've yet to show substantial results. They have 100 million monthly active users. I'll, in the next slide, show you that that's not that many in comparison to the rest of social media. It is, though, mostly stable, and I have been able to grow an audience on Facebook as well. It's also the easiest platform to kind of hack, to go from zero to a following if you have decent content and good strategies. All right, I think we have a participant trying to hop in, so I want to make sure that they get in. All right, admitting them. All right, they should be joining in just a moment. So Facebook is still the easiest one to grow on, in my experience. YouTube, strong, steady, and YouTube Shorts, I'm also finding success. I am copy-pasting my TikToks over into my YouTube. I'm also doing that with Facebook, with Reels. I'll get into that later. All right. But I want to look at this a little closer. So when I talked about how Threads has 100 million monthly active users, that sounds like a lot, not in comparison to the rest of the social media market. And you can see that Twitter is at the bottom of the social media market. That personally hurts me, because I got my start a little bit on Twitter. But Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, even Snapchat, Pinterest. If you have a blog, please be on Pinterest. All right. The opportunities there are insane. But I wanted to kind of give this overview of, here's a visual for how the market's behaving. The other thing is, we talked about how there's a 17.8% decline in Twitter's monthly active users. That is not the only social media that's going down. You'll see in the yellow here, this is X, formerly known as Twitter, and I'm calling it Twitter because it's Twitter. All right. Is down by that 17.8%. Instagram also this year went down. Everyone's down a little bit, at least, except for TikTok. TikTok was researched in this, but it is not actually gone down in their year over year. Year over year, meaning where are they now versus where are they last year? They are down every social media platform that's major a little bit to a lot, except for Twitter right now compared to last year. This was October data as well. All right. Here's what to do with that information. All right. Number one, I highly recommend expanding platforms if you have a good foothold where you are. So Facebook Reels have been doing really well for me. If you have short form video content, please, please, please spread that out onto YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, and TikTok. All right. If you have a blog or you have an e-commerce store, please use Pinterest. It's an excellent SEO opportunity. It's an excellent discoverability opportunity. The people on there do shop there. It's an excellent opportunity. The other thing that I wanted to talk about here is Discord and email lists, because it's not all about social media. The point of social media should be to get them off social media to your website, and more importantly, to somewhere you can contact them where a Musk or a Zuckerberg can't come in and steal your audience from you or swap around the algorithm so that you have a harder time reaching them. Please do yourself a favor. Do something either like a Discord where you can create your own community, and probably prioritize email, get them off the email, get them off the platform with an email list so you don't have to be beholden to all their shenanigans. All right. Best way of doing this is send surveys to people who have bought from you already and say, hey, answer a couple of questions, help me become better. Also, while you're here, do you want to sign up for your email list? I've done this with my Kickstarters. It does work. Second is offering what's called a magnet, which is you offer something free, like, hey, five free maps when you sign up for my email list. There you go. Or like, hey, five free tips on how to write a good dungeon, a good stat block, a good map, like how to make dice, a simple free thing that you spent some time on and is good quality and is an easy way to get people to understand, one, what you're about, two, you give them a little something free, and three, you get their email so that you can contact them no matter what. And my last thing I'll say on email, because I know a lot of people are very high and mighty about social media. I get it. I'm on there. All right. But the thing that I want you to understand is that if you have 10,000 followers and you post something on Facebook or any of these social media platforms, you are lucky if 100 people see it initially. After that, it's a matter of performance. That's not how Gmail works, though. That's not how email works, though. All right. If you have 10,000 email signups, it will go to 10,000 inboxes. And then it's a matter of how well you've gained your audience, whether or not you go to a spam folder. It's a matter of how you put in your content, whether or not they open it, but you're going to be delivered to all of them, unlike social media. And I want that to be the last note I'll say on growing your email. The last piece of news and insights is AI. This has been one of the biggest things this year. It's no surprise. It's got a lot of amazing capabilities. It can create art. It can write stories. There's simple apps that people are engaging with. It generates ideas. It generates content. It's also got limitations. It is out of date on info. That will only get better. It is often inaccurate. That will only get better. There is a learning curve in usage that people will get over that. People are getting over that. Legal issues is the biggest area that we've yet to see play out. And my advice on that is, if you're creating something on AI, if someone owns it is almost definitely not you. Okay. One, because that was scraped from someone else's information. Two, it was then gone through an AI bot that they're their own company, they're their own generator. Who owns AI is yet to be seen. As a creator, I recommend limiting your use of it for anything you plan to sell specifically, just to help yourself with any future legal obligations. All right. The latest news on there is that there's potential revenue for creating apps. This is something I looked into. Dungeon Masters are starting to use this. Players are starting to look into this. It's a potential. I am staying up to date on it, but as far as what does it do for you right now? Nothing. Right now, nothing. Potential. Talk to me in a year. I think it's going to be very different, and I cannot predict exactly what's going to happen. My biggest advice there is know what it can do. Use it so that you know how to use it, so that you know what it's capable of. All right. Don't stay blind to it, or it will sneak up on you. All right. Final notes. It's only get, this is the worst it'll ever be. It will only get better from here. All right. It is normalizing very quickly. I did some polls on my social media. Hey, Dungeon Masters, are you using this? And about a third of them said yes. Two-thirds of them said no, and half of those two-thirds were very adamant about the no. So it's not being sweepingly adopted, but it is being normalized very quickly. All right. Last note is that it is both competitor and a tool. We'll see what it becomes more of as time goes. But right now, I see it both as equally, and it's definitely something we should all be keeping an eye on. All right. So there's social media. We're going to go to market trends. Tommy, I see your question. I will be answering that in the Q&A. All right. Outline for what we're going to cover in the market trends. All right. Dungeon mastering, professional dungeon master, kids D&D, TTRPG tools, crowdfunding, podcast, dice, art. We're going into all of these industries and what we're going to see with consumers. But before we do that, I want us to understand how I'm predicting. This is one of the things that when I did my survey for my last webinar last year, a lot of people asked, hey, can you explain what all this means a little bit more in detail? So that's what I'm doing here. My predictions and analysis are based on search engine optimization tools, specifically keyword research. Keyword research is when you go to Google and you say, I want to find dice. The keyword you use is what you type in. All right. So the example here is shoes. All right. I type into the Google Ads keyword finder. All right. Which is something you can create for free. There's just certain elements you only get if you're actively launching ads. But this is what it looks like in the free version. You just got to set up the account. All right. The first thing you'll notice up here at the very top, so keywords are on the left. And on the next is average monthly search. So that means that people are searching for shoes. This is just the example today. All right. Between 1 million and 10 million people are searching for just the word shoes every single month. All right. 3 month change is what is it like now versus 3 months ago? This was taken right now in December. So 3 months ago from December, we're looking at like September. So it is down 90%. Versus 3 months ago, but that is normal because last year, the year over year is December 2023 versus December 2022. So December 2023 versus December 2022, 0% change. This is normal. Okay. So that just tells you that there's a seasonal decline. More people are searching in September versus December because that's what the 3 month over here is. You'll also notice that it gives you ideas for what other people are searching. All right. So, what usually you can use this as a tool for is you can say, hey, look, there's a lot more interest in UGG slippers. All right. Tells me a lot of people are going to get UGG slippers for Christmas. All right. New Balance 530 was probably a launched one. If I were in the shoe space, I would use this to tell me, hey, I need to create an Amazon link to UGG slippers and try to get some of the revenue of the commissions for selling UGG slippers because they're in high demand right now. I might need to create a blog post on New Balance 327 versus 530 because it's a hot topic right now and I could drive traffic to my site. That's how I, as an SEO, look at this information is how can I use this to predict outcomes? How can I use this to create content to drive interest? All right. Hopefully that'll explain. We'll go into the exact practicalities right away. So first, let's talk about dungeon mastering. I use this as an opportunity to say, are people growing in interest to become a dungeon master? That's just to kind of get how many people are coming into the industry brand new. and want to learn how to be a dungeon master, or they've been players, but now they're ready to elevate to that level of dungeon master where a lot of money gets spent. All right. You'll see that there's a keyword cluster and reasonable demand for dungeon master. They search it in a lot of different ways, but they are basically all here as what's a dungeon master and then how to be a dungeon master. There's no major changes. There's a little 3-month change here, and that's okay. It's a smaller volume, anyways. All right. And this can tell you that it's steady. It's not going up a lot. It's not going down a lot, but there is steady demand for how to be a dungeon master and people entering into dungeon masterdom, which is healthy for the overall market. All right. But something that came up, and I did not know AI was going to be as big of a part of the presentation that it became, is that there's a lot more people looking for AI dungeon mastering than there were in previous year. That shouldn't be too surprising because it wasn't a big topic a year ago, but it should be surprising that that we're looking in the thousands every single month. People are looking at AI dungeon masters. Personally, I think that this is an opportunity for solo RPGs. I think that this is a representation of the lack of enough dungeon masters available to people, or people not knowing how to go out and find a dungeon master. So the market opportunity that this research shows is that if you're a dungeon master, you have an opportunity to get players, you have an opportunity to go pro, you have an opportunity to create solo RPGs and sell those and grow that community, which we'll talk about a little bit in a moment. All right. Professional dungeon mastering. The good news here is the market is steady and that there are regular people looking to hire a dungeon master. The search volume isn't super high. All right. And there's no growth in the industry this year versus last year. So take that as you will, and hopefully it can remain steady. But we really hope that there can be growth if this is an area where you're looking to launch a side hustle. There also appears to be very low interest in the becoming a dungeon master because while we did get some keywords over here for how to be a dungeon master, all right, if you really dig into how to get a dungeon master, all right, there's not a lot of people looking to become a pro. So what that tells you is that here, there's a decent amount of people between, let's just call it 2,500 people every month are looking to hire a dungeon master. How many people are looking to become a professional dungeon master, though? Only a few hundred. So there's a supply and demand opportunity, and hopefully in the favor of pro DMing. All right. So market appears to be a viable side hustle because of that. All right. If you're willing to put in the work. But I want to warn everybody here, that's a lot of work to operate in what appears to be an emerging market. That means you got to do all the marketing, logistics, community education, onboarding, growing awareness and demand, and there's no rule book. You get slash have to write out what it means to be a professional dungeon master yourself. That is a lot of work, and a lot of you might find that intriguing and engaging, and a lot of you might find that exhausting. All right. Because this is also a developing market that's not fully developed, all right, we cannot see if it's going to continue to grow. It might falter, it might fall flat. All right. So there is sustained interest, but the only way it's going to be better is if professional dungeon masters do this work right here. All right. So now, D&D for kids, this is what I, as a dad, want to always keep an eye on. I'm very adamant about playing Dungeons and Dragons with my kids, obviously, and not just Dungeons and Dragons, but just general TTRPGs. And so I wanted to look into this. And because Google doesn't want you targeting kids too much, I could not get the exact keyword volume on this. I had to do some roundabout research, but it's very low. Sadly for me, it's very low the amount of interest for kids. There was an odd spike in late March, early April. And the weird thing about when people are searching for stuff for kids, they're typing out Dungeons and Dragons. They're not using a lot of D&D for kids. They're using a lot of Dungeons and Dragons for kids. The other thing is that it's very slow. So this right here is Google Trends. This is another free tool you can use. And I have links in this document at the very, very end. All right. And you'll see that the kids Dungeons and Dragons, family Dungeons and Dragons, though, and this one's Dungeons and Dragons for kids. Those ones get a lot more keyword volume than just D&D for kids or kids CTRPG. All right, so if you do want to target the kids market, make sure you spell it out and also be aware that it's growing very slowly. All right, so tools. This is one to know what people are interested in, and two, another way, just like dungeon mastering, to see how people are interacting with TTRPGs and tabletop tools. All right. For the most part, there's little change versus this year versus last year, but be aware, D&D Beyond is absolutely destroying everyone else. It leads the pack by far. The thing I'm kind of sad to see is that virtual tabletop hasn't seemed to grow as much as I would expect it to. All right, and that's what we have here. There may be an indication of growing interest between D&D Beyond and virtual tabletop. All right, but D&D Beyond is the one where interest seems to be really going toward. A virtual tabletop, as you'll see over here on the right side, there year over year, 3 month change. There's no change, but I do think this year versus last year, I'm personally seeing more different searches, whereas people only had a little bit of knowledge about virtual tabletop. So they searched those three things: virtual tabletop, VTT, D&D virtual tabletop, TTRPG virtual tabletop. Now they're expanding into different keywords that might show that people are just becoming more educated about it, even if the demand's not increasing, the consumer interest of those already captured might be. All right. D&D alternatives, because it's not all about D&D. This is the TTRPG marketing. All right. The biggest things here, people are very interested in new and popular. If you're launching a TTRPG, make sure you call it a new TTRPG. Make sure that you hype up whatever popularity it might have. And if you're looking to just capture attention in the TTRPG space, this is something worth talking about. All right. Because you'll see that this year there's a 900% increase. Now, that's 100 to 1K means that they went from like 10 to 100 to 100 to 1K. But this is average monthly search. That's a lot over time. And it shows an upward trend over people wanting to know what's popular, what's new in TTRPGs. All right. As for the alternatives that I'm most aware of, Pathfinder, Call of Cthulhu, Shadowrun, Vampire, GURPS, Starfinder, Warhammer, mostly just, I mean, unchanging. All right. So people are looking for new and popular. So these are popular, but they're not new. And whatever interest is being generated there isn't enough to move the needle. All right. There were a lot of interesting things here, though. Warhammer dominates. All right. That's a lot to do with the amount of media around Warhammer. So, how much it means for TTRPGs is what we see here. And there's specifically interest in 40K D&D. So, when they think Warhammer and TTRPGs, they think Dungeons and Dragons and that they wanted Warhammer. So if you're creating anything in Starfinder Spelljammer, you might have an opportunity here. Vampire Masquerade was also showing a lot of promise for very similar reasons to Warhammer, with Bloodhunt, with their they have a lot of media around them. So overall interest has just been very big, okay? As for their role-playing game, all right, it seems to be growing their audience a little bit, but it does not seem to be having a substantial impact. All right, for anyone wanting to play in this space, just because the media is bigger does not mean that it is a direct pathway into the TTRPG space. Okay, there's potential, there's some growth, but it's not as big as you might expect. All right, there is solid interest and demand for Call of Cthulhu, but again, nothing's really moving that needle for them. All right. Starfinder has been a lot more popular at this time this year than it was in the previous year. So there is some growth in the Pathfinder, specifically for Starfinder and the Pathfinder Core Rulebook, which may show that there's more people looking to Pathfinder as their go-to alternative, which, as a D&D person, I get that. All right. GURPS, small but steady interest, no major changes, needs growth if it's going to become anything bigger. All right. Homebrew as the alternative to D&D. Steady, but again, no major growth. So, and I'll get into a summary of what to look in here, but there is surprisingly a lot of interest. If you're creating D&D materials, maybe look into creating homebrewed classes and races, because looking both in the 3 month and in the year-over-year change, this is where all the growth in homebrew seems to be having. Okay. All right, so the overview, because we went over a lot there. All right. There's growing interest in new and popular TTRPGs, Starfinder 2E, homebrewed classes and races, Warhammer and Masquerade are growing in media and might make their way into being a gateway for TTRPGs, just like Dungeons and Dragons is. But we don't really know yet. However, you can capitalize, especially on the Warhammer thing. Figure out if you're creating D&D materials and you want to capture the Warhammer demographic, create Space Marines for Spelljammer or Starfinder. All right. Find a way to capture those people. It is a market opportunity because the Warhammer market is beyond massive. All right. And to understand that D&D Beyond is the desired go-to for many consumers, even those looking for alternatives, which just speaks to how easy D&D Beyond is to use and how well known it is in the consumer market. All right. So now we're going to switch gears. We're going to a new industry. We're going to look at podcasts. All right. Primary interest in D&D podcasts, TTRPG podcasts. You'll notice that people are starting to use qualifiers, which shows a deeper interest. So the first qualifier here is best slash good, just like with the popular and new, people are starting to look at, okay, but like there's a lot of D&D podcasts out there. What's really good? Okay. There's also a decline in live actual play. Actual play is, first of all, very small. Look at the average monthly search here, 10 to 100 versus over here, just for like best, all right, 1K to 10K. The live actual play podcast seems to be doing not so good this year. Doesn't mean it's going to keep shrinking. All right. Doesn't mean it's falling off the face of the earth. But I am saying here, I'm looking and I'm seeing they don't have a lot of average monthly search and it's shrinking. That is something to worry about if you're doing an actual play podcast. Or if you're looking at what podcast to enter into, maybe don't consider an actual play. All right. There are a lot of clear favorites. All right. Among other podcasts, and a lot of people nipping at their heels. So you'll see that the clear favorites are up here. Drunks and Dragons, not another Dungeons and Dragons podcast, also see up here. All right. But down here, I'm actually surprised by how low Adventure Zone was. There's a lot of people looking D20. Again, I'm not surprised to see the growth. I am surprised to see how low the keyword search volume is. All right. There's a lot of competition in this market and a lot of people trying to be the best. And I'm very struck by how these people are at the 1K to 10K and these people are at the 10 to 100 average monthly search. It shows you that there's a lot of room to grow for if you're not at the very tippy top. All right. Another qualifier that people are using is humor. All right. This is somewhere that is just, it's again, it's small, but it's steady. All right, people are looking for this a lot more than they're looking for, say, a live actual play. So if you're funny, talk about how funny you are. Make sure that you put that out there so that people can find you. All right. Switching to podcasts for anyone who's in the local space, friendly local board games. There is a lot of use of the keyword shop. And if you're local, search engine optimization is very effective for you. So if you have a Google Business profile, if you have a website, maybe start including the word shop in that to make sure that people are able to find you when they're searching for things like board game stores near me, board game shops near me. All right. I'm seeing a lot of the word shop. As far as what else is going to get people into your store, trading card games by far. Now, it's easy to think, oh, but we're in December. Of course, December is going to be a hype month. Yeah, that's true here. trading cards near me is 900% up December versus September, but the year over year is December 2023 versus December 2022. And that has skyrocketed as well. So trading card games for friendly local game stores is still a major for you. Make sure you're on top of that. Make sure you're optimized for that in your SEO and keep an eye on that market as well. As far as what is having the biggest, just looking at average monthly search here, what's having the biggest in trading card games? That is Pokemon, sports, Magic the Gathering, more or less in that order. All right. Now we're going to switch gears again. We're going to dice. I know I'm moving quickly, but like I said, we're looking at a whole industry here, and I want to have time for Q&A. All right. There is a strong connection to D&D. When if you're trying to sell dice online for SEO purposes or for content purposes, you do need to bring D&D into the conversation, even if it's general TTRPG dice. People are searching for D&D a lot more than they're searching for TTRPG in relation to dice. The second thing to use is the word dice set. A lot of people are looking for specific sets. There's also, much like in the podcast sector, a lot of qualifiers being added. Consumers know what materials they want, and specifically, metal materials are doing really well. Over here, you'll see that amethyst, mystery, tungsten, metal, black dice. People are, one, not only searching for this, they're searching for it more. So there's a demand change. But two, I'm seeing a lot more people add qualifiers and know exactly what kind of dice they want when they're looking for dice. All right. So for a keyword cluster here, and a keyword cluster kind of shows you, hey, it's not that metal dice have 1K to 10K. Add all this up. This is 10K to 100K in average monthly search for a metal-based dice. All right. So if you're looking at where the dice market, it has a lot of demand, this is it. All right. There's also a lot of people looking for themes. All right. So look at mystery, One Piece, Zelda, Bullet, Harry Potter, Paladin, Druid, Cheese. I saw that name. All right. Not way more growth. All right. So if something's popular and you're in the dice sector, all right, One Piece was on Netflix this year. Harry Potter is Harry Potter. All right. Zelda had a big game this year. And it's doing a lot better now than last year. So as the nerd market creates things, you need to create adjacent materials for that. So if, for example, Full Metal Alchemist got another live action, you might create Full Metal Alchemist dice. Just something to think about. And also stuff like class-based dice are just always going steady and even growing for specifically paladins and druids. All right. Just like in the other sectors we're seeing. And I think this is a result of the amount of competition that a lot of people are looking for good, better, best. Okay. So if you're doing e-commerce for dice, you can use the word best without claiming that your dice are the best. You can talk about how these dice are best for the One Piece fan in your life. There you go. Best dice for One Piece fans. All right. Their best dice for paladins, best dice for druids. If you want your druid to do their best, you can start to get yourself further along in that algorithm. All right. Custom dice have steady, but not a lot of growth, not like metal dice. Okay. TTRPG art, there is demand that remains steady. Character commissions are by far top with the most interest. All right. AI has popped up as a point of interest that should be watched closely. All right. So when we're looking here, we're looking at 1K to 10K average monthly searches for D&D art and character commissions. And that is smaller than the 100 to 1K that we're looking at AI art. But you're seeing that there is definitely, if you've been feeling it, it's here. Here's the data to prove it. A lot more people are interested in AI art. And that is something that I've talked about a little bit, and I'm going to talk about more in a minute. All right. Maps. There is interest showing up in map makers, which might be people, might be programs. Hard to tell the consumer intent behind that search. There is special interest in battle maps, not a lot of growth, but a lot of interest. All right. Maintained interest in terrain maps, but again, no major shakeups. All right. Going into minis. Like much of the market that we've seen here, there's a lot of stability in minis, but not a lot of growth. There might be a mild downtick in custom minis, but there's still strong demand. All right. And there we are seeing some growth in painted minis. For anyone looking in that, it's not a huge amount of volume searched, but we're looking at a little bit of growth. And so I think that there's some hope there, and hopefully that continues to grow. All right. Special interest. This one really surprised me. I think I actually used the wrong screenshot here. Bullywugs and Gathonki and others were the most interested. I definitely used the wrong one here. This is the custom. But the note is still here. If you're creating minis, for some reason, there's a lot of interest in those. All right. Talking about virtual tabletop. I'm very surprised about the lack of growth here. There was a lot of news and hype about this last year. And that tells me that there's still a learning curve. It's still a developing market. People aren't exactly sure what it's for, how to use it. And if they do know that, they're slow to incorporate it. So while interest remains steady, there is not as much growth as I was expecting here. All right. Conventions, Gen Con and Dragon Con dominate. If you're looking for what to cover, create content around, or go to, Gen Con and Dragon Con are just in keyword search volume. The 3 months being down makes complete sense, okay? Because we're further away from their conventions, right? But if you're looking at what's absolutely dominating, it's Gen, Dragon, 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 Gen, and then Blizz. All right. So that's something to keep an eye on as far as what's the biggest. The next biggest favorites, GaryCon, Board Game Geek, and Origins. All right. So if you're looking for something where, like, hey, Dragon and Gen Con are expensive, they're not in my area, these are your next best ones, is Gary, Board Game Geek, and Origins Game Fair, Columbus, Ohio, and I'm over here in Cleveland. I go to Origins personally. I love it. That's what to look into. That's the market trends. Congratulations, we made it in 42 minutes. Now we're going to get into the marketing and the branding side of things. And again, I'm going to go a little bit quickly. All right. Number one, I want to talk about, we're going to outline what to do about AI. I'm going to go over quick content marketing and branding tips and wins, and then I'm going to give you some of the helpful tools that I use that you can use. And again, all this is being emailed to you after the webinar, so you'll have all of these available to you. What to do about AI? This is I run a Discord called Tabletop Business Masterminds. This has been the topic of conversation throughout the year. Number one is branding. Personal touch, your voice, your vibe are more important than ever. You have to show yourself if you can. If you're not comfortable showing yourself, show your world. Take a picture of the walk you're going on, of your dog, of your desk, something, because that is something that AI cannot do. And your human capitalize on it. Number two, just because people are using AI doesn't mean they know what they're doing. We all know how hard it is to market our stuff. So just because people are able to create massive amounts of content with AI, you can still beat them in the marketing. There has always been a lot of amazing work out there that never saw the light of day. AI does not produce amazing work right now. And so there's a lot of opportunity to say that, yeah, it's a competitor, but you still have humans trying to sell something. And like, we're here because not everyone's really knowledgeable about that. That's where you can win. Number three is physical products. Maps, start printing them. Art, start printing them. Go to conventions, have a physical presence. That is an area where AI is going to continue to have a struggle to compete. All right. And then lastly, if you don't use AI, shout it, because there is definitely about a third of the market, as far as what I've personally interacted with, that are anti-AI. It is like a Made in America sticker. Okay. It is a Made Without AI sticker. If you don't use AI, shout it. Okay. If you're a map maker, if you're a content maker of any kind, if you're a podcast, whatever, shout that you don't use AI, because it's going to start making a difference as consumers continue to become educated about it. These are the ways that you can and should fight against AI as a competitor, even if you're using it as a tool. All right, content marketing. The big thing to talk about here is repurpose, like I talked about with the shorts. Repurpose it, put it into various different things. So the example here is like if you start with a blog, great, read it or have a voice reader read it, post the audio as a podcast, video yourself reading it. Now you have a YouTube channel. Chop all those beats up. Now you have shorts. Now you've turned one piece of content into several and you're all over the place. And it doesn't just start with blogs. I started with tweets that I read on TikTok, and that's how I grew my TikTok to thousands of followers. All right. Find ways. If you have a video, just chop it up, take the transcript. Now it's a blog. Take the audio. Now it's a podcast. Take whatever piece of content you have and find ways to break it up and put it into different platforms, becoming different content. But do not kill yourself in the process because too many people try to do everything I just said all at once. Pick one platform, chop it up once. All right. I tweeted long before I started reading my tweets. And right now, I'm taking my TikToks, I'm putting them on YouTube. And I did that for like a year before I ever started putting them on Facebook because I'm human and I have a capacity that I can't do everything all at once. So take time, understand your limits and your bandwidth, work with the time and resources you have, because if you don't do that, you're going to burn out. And then it's all for naught. And it is better to be continually, reliably creating content in one place than to have 3 months of craziness and be completely offline after that. All right. The benefits of doing this well is that your content is in more places where you can engage with more audiences and you can become bigger. And when people do stumble upon you, you look like you're more than just a one platform person. You look like you are a thought leader. All right. Some quick wins for this. If you're already posting on Twitter, Reddit, or Tumblr, screenshot it with your phone. That's a quick Google away for you to learn how to do that. Post it on Facebook, share it into groups. I'm telling you, I've been saying this for 3 years. Screenshot a tweet, put it on Facebook, watch how much more engagement it gets. I have personally gotten 2 likes on a tweet, 200 likes on the Facebook screenshot of that tweet. Start with a Facebook page, share it into relevant groups. You can invite people from those groups by clicking on the likes button. So if you have 200 likes, click on that. It'll show everyone's name and an invite button to go to your page. That's how I got my Facebook page over 7,000. All right. A thing that came out this year specifically is post your reels. If you have short form video, post it as a reel on the Facebook page, not on the Instagram. Post it on the page. All right. Optimize it like a YouTube video. So have title, have description, have hashtags, have links, everything. All right. And then do exactly what I talked about before. Post on your page, share it into relevant groups, or don't, because the reels are pushing themselves all on their own. And I have had where I am now inviting hundreds of people and I didn't have to share it at all. All right. So if you're in short form content at all, Facebook reels, and this is something that I've discovered recently as well. TikTok, the views you get in the first couple of hours are usually the most of the views you get. And it's either growing from there or it stops. YouTube will have like boop, boop, boop for 1 day in YouTube shorts. Facebook Reels will suddenly blow up 2 weeks later. All right. That's happened to me like 3 times now. So Facebook Reels are right now the slept on short form content for video. All right. Let's talk about branding, which we've already kind of talked about for AI. But I want to make sure I'm clarified on what branding is. Branding is what people say about you when you're not around. It's fancy marketing speak for reputation. All right. Make sure that you're watching your actions just as much as you're watching your word. All right. Good brand hits best not before the sale, but after the sale. So people think that branding is just a way to get people in. It is also a way to keep people in. All right. So when you deliver your products, don't stop branding. Don't stop marketing. All right. After you've made the sale is honestly the most important time to be branding and marketing because that's resale. That's lifetime customer value. All right. Have plans for how to handle mistakes. I've tweeted dumb things before, but I have rules for what to do about that. So you're going to mess up by being a public person. That's fine. That's human. That's normal. Have a plan ahead of time so that you don't just do what's on your head and reply to that person and get mad. All right. Have a plan in place for, okay, what's my thought process for if people start really blowing on me because I talked about using an AI tool. All right. Do I stand my ground? Do I apologize? How much time do I give it? Have that plan in place. All right. As I said with AI, be personal, be human. It's your best weapon. All right. Some quick wins. Know who you're talking to, know your voice, and have like basically create an imaginary friend. Create a D&D character that represents who your ideal target is. Create content for that person. All right. A quick note on logo versus face. I personally usually recommend using your face over a logo unless there's any chance you intend to sell later. Or if you're like me, I'm Zach Applewhite, but I'm also Tabletop Business Marketing. I'm also Applewhite Games. Those get logos. I get my face. Okay. Because those are entities that my face is connected to. So if you're going to have multiple operations, you will have to use logos. All right. I already talked about know your policies for handling mistakes. Communicate purposefully. All right. And experiment. Try new things. Please do not get caught in a rut. Don't just do what Zach told you to do a year ago. Try new things because I discover things like reels being crazy on Facebook right now because I'm experimenting. Okay. All right. Here are the tools and platforms that I have been personally using that are all free. Okay. So, just a quick rundown. These are good for content research if you're creating content and you're trying to drive traffic somewhere. These are good for content distribution. Musically Down, I can copy the link to my TikToks, put it in there, download it without the watermark so that it doesn't get penalized on other platforms. All right. Hootsuite is just for posting on multiple platforms at once. Personally, I don't use it, but my wife, who's the writer, loves it. All right. If you are local, and you want to do local SEO, location-based search result checker from Bright Local. It's really good. And using the snippet optimizer to get good titles and meta descriptions on your website is very important for your SEO. For website, if you're looking to launch a website, only do WordPress if you're doing something big and technical. Otherwise, I highly recommend Shopify. That's what we switched to from WordPress. And it has made all of our selling so much easier. It's very easy and simple to use. Yes, WordPress has a lot more capabilities, but we found out we don't need them. Some other things, Google Drive, just great. Story Origin is good for delivering readable materials. So if you're doing books or long st or stories or anything like that, Libby is just audiobooks. And if you want audiobooks, Libby is for your library. Put your library card in, listen to a bunch of audiobooks. I love it. Canva is great. If you're not a graphic designer, but you need to do graphic designing, get Canva. And then Incarnate for map making if you're interested in it. All right. We are now in the live Q&A portion. All right. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen here. Come back over, and we're going to address some of the questions that are already in there. So the first question was, what do you use to collect and store your email list? What I use to collect and store my email list is Google Forms. So the form that you filled out in order for to attend this webinar, that you can put directly on its own Excel sheet. You can just export it, or you can copy and paste it somewhere if you like. And that's what I'm using. I only have like a couple hundred people on my email list, so I'm not using I think there's like a monkey email list, Chimp, MailChimp. All right. I'm not using something like that because it's too small for me right now. I don't have a reason to use that. However, there will be a point where I do and should use that because there will be this point where if people aren't opening my emails, I need to remove them from my email list or I'm going to be put in a spam folder. Okay. But until you're at that point, you can just put it on an Excel sheet and use it at your own leisure. Question. There are reports of Hasbro creating an AI DM for D&D Beyond. What have you heard about this? That might explain some of the extra interest in AI D&D. Nothing else came up in the research for this webinar. So I do think that it is something worth worrying about. But again, I think that it might even be an on-ramp market opportunity to say, hey, are you using the AI D&D thing? That's great. But have you considered solo RPGs? You can run them yourself, and they're tons of fun because bots are bots. They're not human. Okay. Nick, I'm in e-commerce. Does listing on Etsy with the same or similar product descriptions negatively affect SEO? Yes. That is what's called duplicate content. So you can have similar, but they do need to be different. This is actually an area where you might use AI. You might say, hey, here's a dice description, okay, but it comes in seven different shades. So what do you create for that? Can you create seven variations of this description? All right. That's where AI can help you. In SEO, we're using AI for things like that all the time. All right. But to answer your question in summary, yes, you want to have differentiated enough descriptions, or else you'll get marked for duplicate content, which will negatively affect your rankings, and or it'll create cannibalization where like you have two pages fighting for 11th spot, okay, which means you're not on page one of Google. But if you just had one optimized as that way and this one optimized differently, then one of them jumps up to the seventh spot. That is something that I have seen in my career all the time. All right. Any other questions from those who have made it here today? Give you a minute. All right. I know I ran through that fast, but I'm going to be proud of myself. That was 70 slides in an hour. All right. Tommy, go for it. Y'all are wondering why I'm drinking so much. I have a sore throat, which is
Hey,
a terrible thing to have on a webinar. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have a question about the Facebook algorithm. Right now, it's really difficult for me to, if I have a page for my personal company, even though there's like let's say 300 or 400 followers on that page, it's really difficult to reach all of them. Do you have any tips for breaking the algorithm or how to make your post more visible to your followers?
Would you be willing for me to look at your Facebook page right now? And potentially, are you okay with sharing with everybody? If not, I.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. What's the name of your Facebook page?
It's called Obscure
Obscure
Space RPG.
RPG.
I think that's just a bit over 100 followers on that one.
Okay.
That's my new page that I'm trying
All right.
to get out there.
And it's got the girl with the blacked out bar on the
Yeah,
eyes.
exactly.
Okay. Let me take a look at this real quick. All right. So, yep, you got a couple of hundred. You're linking to a Kickstarter project. It's very good. Yeah, I'm getting a couple of likes. Okay. So, for this, I would consider an 80-20 split because you're not doing anything wrong here necessarily. Like, your posts aren't laden with links and such. You're not doing anything that would like a couple of them are linking out. And the first thing to understand is that links are immediately going to bury you. All right. Facebook does want you to pay to play. So anytime they think you're selling something, they're going to make you try and pay for it. The thing to do here that I recommend is an 80-20 split between sell content versus entertainment or education content. All right. So for example, you have this layouts thing. And this one did decently. You did it 2 days ago, 14 people interacted with it, which a 10% interaction rate is a really good rate. So if you have 100 people looking at something and 10 people actually engage with it, that's actually really good. And the thing you did here was you just gave them something interesting to look at. All right. Similar with the post you did before that. Want it getting the game even faster. Here's a bunch of pre-made characters. All right. And I would take so this one that you posted October 5th. Okay. You have two pages and it's showing a bunch of characters. That right there is eight pieces of content. All right. I would start by just zooming in on each of these characters, folding that into your content. Don't do it all back to back to back. Spread this out. Okay. So in between your promotional of like, make sure you do the Kickstarter. All right. Have these going. Talk about how they might play in the TTRPG. All right. And then in the comment section, that's where you can drop the link or say, if someone says, like, that's so interesting, say, it really is. Make sure you sign up for the Kickstarter launch at insert link here. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Thank
Yeah.
you.
The other thing is that if you're like the way I do it on the Apple iGames is that I just post memes whenever I'm not selling something. I just do content that's entertaining. So that might not work for your vibe here. Just kind of think, innovate from there. All right, of like, what can you do to educate or entertain to get people just interested in your vibe so that when you promote, it's not like you've been shouting at them, buy my stuff the whole time. You know, that's an area
Yeah.
where you can innovate.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yep. Nick asks, do any insights on the accessory side of the TTRPG market? Dice Trees, really enjoyed this and your insights today. So dice boxes came up regularly when I was searching for around dice. And here's what we'll do right now. This is an excellent opportunity. I'm about to share my screen again. All right. We're going to search that live right now because we got the time. All right. So share. All right, great. So this is the Google Ads keyword. This is again free to use. If you start paying to launch Google Ads, you'll get a nice little bar that shows like how this has been performing over the year, whether there's any random spikes. This is the free version that I use because I'm too cheap to pay for ads and because ads don't really make sense for my current business model. All right. So let's take a look. All right. And I'm going to pull your comment back up here in a moment. If I can, it'll let me. Nah, don't worry about it. Oh, nope. There we go. Okay. So let's look at accessories. So like we know that D&D dice set. This is to let Google know what I'm looking for, okay? D&D dice box, D&D dice bag, D&D dice tower. All right. If you have other ideas for accessories, put them in the chat. All right. So the competition here, by the way, I cut this out of the webinar because it's specifically talking about ads. All right. And that's not something that I want you to worry about. Most of us aren't in a point where it's worth spending money on ads right now. All right. So let's see here. One of the things I like to do is crank up the year over year. All right. LED dice are very growing in interest. Here's another high volume keyword. Coolest, metal, amethyst, paladin, Harry Potter. So the most of the growth is happening in the specific kinds of dice. So let's go back to keyword by relevance. We're going to actually take out the dice set here. All right. Dice tray. We'll do 3D printed as a different one. All right. So there's a little bit more interest in dice bags this month than in previous months. That's probably because of the seasonality that we are in the Christmas period. D&D dice case, where's some other growth? Dice bag is seeing some growth. Dice bags are where the growth is going. And that might be people are meaning for mystery bag here. All right. So that's where the growth seems to be happening, is actually around dice bags and mystery bags. So if you're selling dice bags, you might say, you know, just create a mystery, like sell your bag with dice already in it, let the dice be a mystery. And I would say, if I'm thinking, you know, innovatively and I'm willing to try new stuff, if you sell a dice tray, create a mystery dice tray, create a mystery dice tower. All right. Create a mystery dice box because everyone's looking for the mystery here. And if you're already selling these things and you want to hop on a trend and you want to get people interested in something, you're launching a Kickstarter for dice boxes or dice trays, create a mystery tier in the Kickstarter rewards. All right. Let's go into the 3D printed real quick. See what demand's looking like there. Dice, 3D printed dice box. Let's go ahead and look up 3D printed dice tower, because I know there are a lot of those out there. All right, so this is, again, we're starting with what's been growing. All right, 3D print dice holder, dice tower, dice tower, dice box. So there is growth in the year-over-year and in the 3 months. So people are shopping this actively for Christmas in the dice holder and dice box and dice tower sector. That's the only place that's really seeing growth. Let's look at their keyword relevance. All right, dice box, dice tower. Shapeways dice, I have no idea what that is. Let's look at average monthly search. Let's look what's highest here. 3D printed dice, dice. People are really looking at the dice themselves and looking for dice towers. So that's probably people who have 3D printers. Dice tower SDL, that's for 3D printer. Looking for anything. 100-sided dice 3D print. Interesting. All right. Oh, they're a 3D printed company. Yeah. So that's, if you're in the 3D printed area and you're looking at D&D accessories, dice boxes is probably the best place, because I know that dice towers are everywhere right now. So dice boxes is probably your biggest opportunity as far as like what's a blue ocean with less sharks in the water. All right. Awesome. Any other questions? I'm going to stop the share for a moment here. These are great questions, by the way, and I love doing stuff like this live because it shows you in the moment what to look at. Some deep dives, variations on the research for intent of products versus design. This is where intent is very important, of whether or not people are looking for files or whether or not they're looking for product. And that's where you're just going to have to kind of find out for yourself by optimizing for these things, putting these things out there, and seeing what the market reacts to. And I've also seen, if by the way, you're in the 3D space, a lot of, and I know I see Kickstarter a lot. I've done a lot of them. So that's where my brain automatically goes, is they sell the files as well as the materials so that they can capture both markets. And then you can actually survey them differently when you've delivered the product, to say, hey, for those who bought the files, what are you interested in? Do you want to sign up for this separate email list versus people who buy my products? Here's what I want to know from you, and here's the email list for you. And that way, as if you are able to capture both sides, you can market differently to the people that want different things. You can market files to your files people, or exclude them entirely and just sell your products to the product people and not be distracted by the file people. Only a little bit on ads for testing. When I think I've nailed it, sometimes I am wrong, sometimes I'm right, but $50 to $100 here or there is worth it versus chasing windmills. Just my note on ads is I pretty much agree. Facebook ads is where I've played the most around because they're easier to use. Google, for me, I do a lot of Kickstarter. Kickstarter is not a great discovery for Google. If people are looking for, you know, a dice tower, they're probably looking to buy it right then, not on Kickstarter. But for discoverability of, I didn't know I wanted a dice tower, Facebook has been great. And my biggest suggestion there is to do A-B testing, a lot like what you're talking about. Don't spend a ton of money. It's okay to waste money is a thing. Let's talk about this for a moment. If I spend $100 on ads and I only capture two people and they each spend $20 on my Kickstarter, then I've gained $40 and I've lost $60 in total, right? Out of $100, $40, and there's $60 wrong there. The thing that I know I'm good at is if I can sell to you once, I can sell to you twice, three times, four times. That's where lifetime customer value comes in. We've done a ton of ads, just very small for our Kickstarters, but we have a great return rate. So while I might have spent $50 to acquire you, in this scenario, you spent $50 per two persons, okay? $100 divided by two, $50 per person, But if I can sell to you three times at $20 a pop, I've made my money back and then some, you know? So when you think about waste, make sure that you're thinking about it in terms of not just right now, but the projects to come. Okay. We're at 11:10 right now. We're probably looking at wrapping things up. So if you got questions, right now is the time. And someone did ask about the Tabletop Business Masterminds. Following this, you will all be getting, I need to take time to edit up this video a little bit, pull out the audio, so on and so forth. But at the end of this, everyone will have an invite link to the Discord group where I regularly post insights like the one about the Facebook Reel stuff. I do videos so that you can actually see what I'm talking about in that moment. And I'm also just info dumping a lot of stuff specifically in the TTRPG space, and other people contribute, which is the best part, is that everyone gets to learn from everybody. You get an invite link to that. You'll get a link to where you can download all these slides off of Google Drive, and you will get the recording, hopefully in video, at the very least in audio. I'm just going to try and chop off, honestly, this Q&A portion because I showed a lot of people's names, and I want you guys to have your right to privacy. Last chance, any questions? Okay. I think we can wrap that up. Thank you all for coming. You will also get a survey, all right? Because I'm going to be continuing to try to make these better every year. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your amazing questions. Look forward to connecting with you via the Discord or social media. And again, thank you. Thank you for all the things. This is my favorite thing to do. I love doing this every year.